In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. As a Greek Orthodox priest, and as Greek Orthodox Christians, as Orthodox Christians, we all need to have only one agenda item in our church, and that is to go to heaven. One agenda item. Everything else, if that serves that agenda item, we should keep it. And if it gets away of that agenda item, we need to throw it aside. We are here to be connected to God now in this life, now at this present moment, at all moments, and connected to God who is in heaven. Because Jesus Christ is a bridge who connects us both from here and now and to heaven, from here and now, and from the past and the present and the future, into heaven. Because God is beyond all time as we understand it. So we are here to be made into citizens of heaven. This is what St. Paul means when he said that Christ became a new man, a new Adam, a perfect citizen of heaven, so that by him we can become new men, new women, new human beings, citizens of heaven, connected to God, ourselves. And Jesus says, St. Paul says that Jesus is the cornerstone. And upon this cornerstone, all of the temple, that is all of us together, are made. And it begins with him. And if we are a member of the heavenly kingdom, we want to join and become part of this temple made without hands and become heaven, because wherever God is, wherever Jesus is, that's heaven. And if we want to build somewhere else, we're building somewhere that's not in heaven. We're building, when they're building a beautiful temple, we're building a shack somewhere else that has nothing to do with the temple. So here we have in this parable this morning that Jesus gives this parable, as he always often does, as an answer to a question. The question that is asked is that one brother comes and he's complaining that his other brother won't give him his inheritance, and he's mad and he wants to do all kinds of things. He wants justice. He wants perhaps some reason to not go and get even with his brother. He's thinking of the world. He's thinking of his own shack over there, not of the temple of made without hands, that is the church, that is God's church, all of us together. And so Jesus answered this parable with a question. And he talks about a fool who is building something. He says that a rich man had a bumper crop. He had more than he knew what could do with. He was rich. He hit the jackpot. He hit the lotto. And he says, what am I going to do with all of this wealth? He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to tear down my old barns, my old shacks, and I'm going to go and build new, bigger shacks. He says, I'm going to build this. One father pointed out that it says in this, I didn't count it, but he says in this parable, the rich man says, I, six times. I. When we start thinking about I, about me, we start building shacks that are going to fall down when we die. And so this man built this, had this big plan. He was going to go eat and drink and be merry. Notice he's not only devising a way of life, which would be bad enough and superficial enough, but he is going and planning for a lifestyle for the rest of his life. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. Now he forgets the rest of that saying. Do you know what the rest of that saying is? For tomorrow we die. He forgot that part. So he builds this thing. And he has this long-term plan. And all of a sudden, God intervenes almost immediately after the fool starts making his plans. So much for long-term planning. Death is always imminent. And so this man faces a reality. The reality that without God And away from that temple made without hands, where God is the cornerstone, man is so vulnerable and helpless. And no matter how strong we think we are, and how wise we think we are, and astute we think we are nothing without God. Because we always lack, we are always in need, we will always delude ourselves, we'll always think we can stave off death by accumulating more and more and more. Notice that in the Orthodox Church, we don't say that we live by consuming. We live by communing with God. That is our life. And so this man, when he got this wealth, he started to become deranged. This wealth caused him to lose his peace and to lose his connection with the reality that he lives in a communion. He lives with God. He lives with his brother. We're here to share everything together, and that's where life and joy and merriness and even eating true food comes from. It comes from being in this communion with God. So the man's thinking was irrational from a biblical perspective. It's irrational that we live in order to acquire, and we think we need to acquire things in order to live. If we do that, we have that irrational thinking. It leads to a vicious greed cycle that spirals towards the death of the soul and the death of the body, where we think we need stuff, we have greed, we acquire, we have agony because we think we don't have enough, which makes us want to go and acquire even more, even if it means breaking off communion with our brothers and sisters around us, even if it means breaking communion with our God. This is the broken logic of the world, of individualism, this upside-down logic that we think that we live all by ourselves. The Orthodox Christian ethic, the ethical way to live, is to look at Christ, because Christ is the yardstick. He is the yardstick. What did Christ do? He held nothing back. He gave everything for everybody else. He held nothing for himself. He even went on to death so that others can benefit, others can be healed, others can be forgiven of their sins, others can see the goodness and graciousness of God, and that God wants us all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that our life comes from him, and to enter the kingdom of heaven. The only way to be free from sin is to let go of everything. Let go of this death grip that we have of this life here as we think about it in our own limited ways, and realize that our whole life is eternal and in the heavenly kingdom. Now, in conclusion, I have two ideas this time to walk away with. The first idea is this: the very meaning of the word peace, not our piece of the pie, P-I-E-C-E, but our peace, P-E-A-C-E, as it is in Greek. The word in Greek for peace is irini. You see the priest, Jesus said it how many times after he rose from the dead, peace be with you. How many times does Jesus, through the priesthood, say peace be with you? Peace for us all. Now the word peace is a very, very ancient word, ancient Greek word. It comes from an even older Greek word that means to connect. When Jesus is saying peace be with you, he's saying, I want to connect with you in all ways. I want to connect with you now in this life and forever and ever. You are in this life and you're here, you're suffering the consequences of sin, the consequences of all of the people who have decided to cut themselves off from God, beginning from Adam. But even from the very time that Adam and Eve sinned and cut themselves off and built their own shack somewhere else, rather than living in the garden with God, with his, and just being obedient to his commandment and obedient to his love. From that very moment, God was devising his plan to bring us together into one people again around him with the life giver. So this is the first one. The second idea, and I will close with this, is that we are here on earth, and again, it's our agenda to go to heaven, to go and cling on to Christ and have him carry us to heaven. And here's the metaphor. We human beings, in our foolishness, when we get lost, when we get confused, when we start thinking, not thinking straight, we think we want to build a bridge to a better place. Wherever that is, those who are trying to live and accumulate things on this earth really don't even know where they're going. But that nonetheless, they want to build and build a bridge. And this is what this bridge is like. It's rickety. It's made of rotting wood. It's made of old dry ropes. It's hanging there. Pieces are falling off. We're always trying to patch it together with duct tape. And would you stand on this bridge if someone else built this bridge for you? I don't think so. This is the bridge that we try and build if we think that we can save ourselves and if we can build our own paradise on earth and make everything perfect and secure and beautiful just by trying to accumulate things here. Or this is another bridge that St. Paul talked about in the epistle this morning, that Jesus Christ is our reconciliation. He is our bridge. He is the one who gets us across from thinking this worldly place and brings us into heaven. And in fact, Christ is a bridge, is only one metaphor of who Christ is. Christ is the bridge. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. St. Paul says in Hebrews, he is the trailblazer. He's the one who clears and directs the way for us to follow him to where we were made to be and to where we belong. We belong in heaven. And yes, we are here on earth, and don't think that this earth is separated from heaven by a great distance. And don't think that Jesus is separated from us by some great distance. Jesus is not some star in the sky, millions and billions of light years away from us. He's with us here and now. He's very close to us. Even in the icon of the ascension, when Jesus is ascending, he's depicted in the way that he's ascending and he's coming and he's going. We can't really tell which way he's going because he's always with us. His time is not like our time. In fact, Jesus is beyond time. Time we live with. But he is always with us because what did he say? And I will close with this. He said to the church when he was ascending, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So let us connect ourselves and hold on to Christ, who is our cornerstone, and may we always make sure that we are connected to his church.